Welcome to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance with Jeffrey Panik from Balance Wealth Partners. In this space, we're keeping it real about money, unraveling the intricacies of spending and investing, and making it all about you. Dive into the journey of striking the perfect balance between enjoying the now and preparing for what's next. Money talk might seem complex, but we're here to simplify it. Join us as we, along with experienced guests, are planning for more than retirement. We are planning for life.
Well, hello and welcome to Between Life and Money with Jeff Panik. Jeff, it's good to be with you, but I got to tell you, I'm not exactly excited to be with you today.
No, it's kind of like a situation where you just wait for it in the mail, and that's the credit card statements.
Yeah, this is really painful because at the time we're recording this, credit card bills in the mail contain Christmas. And I find a lot of people have the same complaint about, whoa, I had no idea we spent that much money.
No, and it's kind of like a triage issue after the holidays, just to try to account for everything.
Right.
I think that's why they really say, you know, with the American economy, they call it the consumer-led economy. Unfortunately, a lot of the reason why we're leading is because of credit card spending and debt. And it's a real problem. And it's at this point, it's reaching the point of about 1.1 trillion, you know, not billion, but trillion.
That's with and a T, right?
With a T. Wow. And you know, we talk about student loan debt, credit card debt is just out of control as well. And the problem with credit card debt, especially, is once you find yourself in it, as it relates to how the interest rates that are being charged by the credit card companies on average about 21%, it's really hard to, you know, really claw your way out.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, this is my own editorial insert here. I am shocked at the rates on credit cards. You used to be, if you charged someone 22, 23, 24%, it was usury.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're a loan shark or something, but that's kind of the status quo, unfortunately, now. And, you know, that's why there's been some studies that have found 1 in 5 adults find themselves in collection.
Wow.
And once you start to acquire the debt and accumulate, it's often really difficult to back yourself out and get back where you started.
It is really difficult. And we've all been in those situations. I don't know a single person who hasn't been in those situations. You're a very, very, very fortunate person if you haven't found yourself staring at a stack of debt thinking, I don't know how I'm going to manage this debt and pay my bills and do what I need to do.
Exactly. And I mean, I think the big challenge for everyone now is, you know, with inflation, the cost of groceries and gifts, for that matter, going up the way they have, and most people's incomes staying relatively stagnant, it just creates a real problem of where you come up with the difference or the delta. And that's really the challenge. And it's very easy to go to the credit card companies and take their money. But it's at the same time, very difficult to kind of back your way out of it and not find yourself in the debt hole.
Yeah, no, it is difficult. And I know that a lot of people, and I'm guilty of this at times, think paying the minimum is going to take care of things.
No,
at least put it down the road somewhat.
You can kick it down the road. And the reality of it is, by paying the minimum payments, you just never get ahead. And in a lot of cases, given how high the rates are, you just find yourself further and further behind.
Yeah. So what do we do here, Jeff? What are some thoughts you have on credit card debt and how we can deal with it and manage it?
Sure. I mean, and some of it's just a basic understanding of the different credit cards. You know, the interest and understanding how, if you need to get a credit card, where to even find information and research so you can find the right one for your specific lifestyle. And, you know, mentioning that, you know, not all the cards are the same, you know, really, you know, there's debit cards and credit cards, and, you know, debit cards are where you're actually taking your own money and spending it for purchases. Mm-hmm. You know, a credit card is one where you're borrowing the money basically as a loan from the credit card issuer, and you're paying interest and payments to, you know, over time to pay the money back. And, you know, that also in a lot of cases comes with fees that are attached with it and can be a whole lot more complex than what you would normally find with a normal debit card, you know, where you're just taking money out of your account and spending what you have. Credit cards are set up where you're spending ahead of yourself and you're paying interest back, hopefully principal afterwards. And getting back to the fact that I mentioned, just because you think you need a credit card or you want a credit card doesn't mean you need one, as well as the fact it's important before you even get one to really do research to make sure that the credit card you're looking for fits your lifestyle and you don't find yourself in a situation where you're paying 21, 24% on interest, never getting ahead and just being in the proverbial debt hole at that point.
Well, what's a good way to do that, Jeff? I mean, that sounds easy, but...
No. So with the benefit of the internet and Google searches, one of the areas as an example would be like a nerd wallet. You know, there's various websites you can go to where you can put in your information, what you're looking to try to do. Hopefully, you know what your credit score is, and it will make suggestions for you with the best credit card for your specific situation.
So nerdwallet.com is an example of
just as an example. There's several others out there.
Okay.
Really, it's a matter of understanding what's the right fit for you. And at the same time, understanding what all the fees are, you know, whether they charge an annual charge for the card, whether you're paying ongoing interest payments, whether there's even prepayment penalties, you know, if you pay the money back sooner than what the credit card company would like. You know, and the main thing that I always tell people, it's like anything else in life, you know, just remember that nothing is free. If somebody's giving you the money, there's something, some sort of handcuffs or something behind where they, you know, they're going to expect to get money plus back, and you really want to budget accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not your money, even though it may appear to be your money. It is the bank's money, and they do want that money back, don't they?
No,
you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say it's really a catch 22 because in a lot of cases, in order to qualify for a home or an auto loan, you know, you have to have credit history, and it's at the same time it's difficult to get a balance in building that.
So how do we do that? I do remember, like, when I was a little kid, you know, my dad telling me you have to build credit, and I always found it the ultimate irony of ironies that to build credit, you needed to borrow money to pay it back. And it just seemed like a weird, strange circle.
I mean, and it's always been a challenge, you know, because it's typically with the banks, you know, when you don't need the money, that's when they want to lend it to you.
Yes.
And when you need it, that's when it's, you get the worst terms, and it's a difficult process that you have to go through. You know, one of the things that you can start out to build credit, you know, for, as I mentioned, a first-time home purchase, you know, your first car, is really to look at a secure credit card.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of in some ways works like a debit card in the fact that you're, the only real difference is rather than taking money from your account, which you're actually taking money from your bank account, moving it to the credit issuer's account, and then you're pulling down the balance that you've put into that account. And what you're trying to do is show that, you know, over a responsible history where really all you can spend is the money that you're putting in.
Yeah.
What you end up allowing yourself for is to create a credit history, you know, and one of the things you want to do with the secured credit cards is make sure that they report to the three credit agencies, which Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, the payment history.
Yeah. Yeah,
but what it will allow you to do is build a credit history, not have to worry about interest payments typically, and not worry about a whole lot of fees, you know, really using your money to build your credit history and using, you know, this third party to help you along with the process.
So basically, if I understand this correctly, I decide I've got $1,000 that I can fund this secure credit card with. I have to deposit that money and it's attached to that card, and I can't spend more than that. Is that the idea?
So, and really what will happen is the secured credit card, they'll look at your credit history if you have any, and they'll say, well, you can start with $500. And so what you would do is move $500 from your bank you know, on a monthly basis, you would just, if, you know, you would have to replenish that account. Yeah. Typically what happens over time, you know, the card company, once you start to demonstrate the payments and the history, they'll typically raise that amount. And in some cases, they'll take off the secure part and then just, you know, it would just be a credit card at that point. But it's a good way to build a history of credit, even if you can't get a normal credit card. And it really benefits you from the standpoint of spending responsibly, because in most cases, you can only spend what you have.
Yeah. Let's move from that idea, which sounds actually kind of comforting.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
maybe there's a little budget.
Spend within your means, right? Exactly. Exactly. Spend within your means. That's a novel idea these days, right?
Yeah, right. But what happens when we don't? And, you know, suddenly we look down at our credit card bills and realize it isn't one credit card. It's two or three or maybe even four, because there's this fifth card over here, and they're all, you add all that debt up together. It's, what do you do then when you realize I can afford the minimums on all five of these or four of these or whatever it is? Where do you go from there, buddy?
And, you know, that's especially true if you look at, you know, where you were expecting to pay, you know, 7 or 8% interest on the credit card, and now you're paying 21. You know, it creates a certain amount of shock where you're making the minimum payments, but your balance in some cases is even going higher. And so really, you know, what I tell people, you really want to look at each card, look at the interest as well as what your current spending is. And you have to look, and there's a few different circumstances. You know, you have to look and say, well, are you finished spending and you're only really paying the interest payments in some principal, you know, or are you making the payments and spending and watching the balances just go right back up? You know, you really want to look based upon your income, spending, and budget. And, you know, you could have two individuals that have completely different approaches to how they tackle credit cards. You know, you could have the first who's spending additionally on the card, you know, really, and just watching the principal go up and the interest every month back to where it was. You know, you really want to look and say, you know, what are you spending it on? Do you have a budget in place? You really want to review your budget and see where all the money is going, you know, whether it's going to various streaming services, or whether, you know, you're going to Starbucks every day and spending $7 or $8. You know, potentially what you want to try to do in that case is say, well, where can I cut and make adjustments to my spending? And with the money that you use and cut, you know, look to pay down the interest over a period of time that's reasonable and come up with a budgeting plan that will work, so you really don't find yourself in the same position again. The second person that I would typically see would be someone that's really just making the minimum interest payments, and they're just have the balance there and they can't really do very much with it, you know, and that's often a challenge, you know. And so one of the things I always suggest doing is, once you understand what the interest rate is, you know, potentially going to the credit card issuer and saying, well, you know, this is getting too much for me. Can I get a certain amount of time where I can get the interest reduced? If you're able to do that with the interest deduction that you get for a certain amount of time, say it goes from 21 to 5 or something, you know, really focus on planning to pay off the interest over that period of time or as much as you can. Wow. You know, the other consideration would be to get a zero balance transfer card. And what that allows you to do is move money that may be at 20, 21, 18% into a card that has an introductory period where it's actually the interest is zero. And what you want to do is be focused on paying as much of the interest and the debt that is on that card off as quickly as possible. But at the same time, by doing that, you know, you want to make sure you understand what the period terms are, what happens if there's money left on the card after the zero introductory period. And then you want to understand what fees and other things go along with it. And, you know, the biggest thing I see with the zero transfer balance cards and trying to get everything back down to zero, you want to make sure you have a plan or a budget so you don't end up right back where you started.
Thanks so much for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. We hope you're enjoying it so far. If you have any questions or would like to talk more about this topic, you can find us at www.balancewealthpartners.com and through all our social media platforms that are listed in the show notes.
What about the idea of, and I realize this is going to take some discipline, this approach. What happens if you decide, you know, we have way too much debt, it's out of control. Let's consolidate that debt into a loan from the bank at an interest rate that may be 4, 5, 6%, whatever the rate is at the moment at the bank. And then you have an agreement to sort of put those cards away. I mean, do you recommend that or what's
your thoughts? Yeah, so that would be the other thing. So, you know, the biggest concern I always have when you shift the debt and you still have the lines of cards open, yeah, you know, the credit cards are still open, they're just zero, is the fact that you could very easily find those cards back up to the balances where they were when you had the, you know, when you were trying to shift over to the bank in the first place. And that's, you know, really, you look at it and you really have to have a budget and a plan to kind of really avoid the credit card debt. And, you know, I see a lot of people, you know, not only do they have credit card debt, but they have student loan debt. And, you know, they're trying to potentially think about buying their first home. You know, a lot of the rent that they're paying is as much as you would expect in a home payment now. And so everyone only has so much money. And it's really a matter of going in and budgeting, as difficult as that may be, or as, you know, as it just, people don't like to do that. It's really a matter of trying to figure out a way to stay in your means and work through, especially what we would say would be variable expenses or discretionary that you really don't, you know, discretionary expenses where you don't really need to have, you know, whether it's a $5 or $6 cup of coffee or these streaming services where you're, you know, you start out, you know, paying an introductory where it's $4 or $5 a month, and now you're paying 14 or 15. And, you know, really, especially with couples, you want to make sure you don't have the same, you know, you both don't have an Amazon Prime account, you both don't have, you know, Netflix accounts, you know, and you start cutting these things down and you can find a lot of savings there where you can use, as I mentioned, you know, to start paying down the debt, you know, so you can start hopefully building savings for the future rather than just paying interest to the credit card companies in the form of profits.
You know, you said a word in there and it triggered a thought. You mentioned students. And I know a lot of kids, when they go off to college, they get a ton of credit card offers, and they make it seem so easy and delightful.
It's like, you know, they, I think in some cases at some of the universities and colleges, you know, they, it's almost like at Halloween where they're passing out candy, you know, they're trying to pass credit cards out, you know, free this and free that, you know, here's a free Frisbee, you know, for signing up or whatever they're offering to sign up. And, you know, the reality, like I mentioned before, is nothing is free. And you really want to understand what the fees are, you know, what the interests are and what the risk is. You know, so as I mentioned, you don't find yourself not only having student loan debt, but at that point graduating and realizing you've racked up a bunch of credit card debt.
Yeah. I mean, what do you tell parents and you know, who come in or who are clients of yours, kids are going out to college and the kids are getting these offers. What's your advice on that?
I would take them really very, I would be very cautious and very open about, and, you know, and it may be the parent or the guardian, the person that is the, you know, trusted contact or person that speaks with the student. You know, the best thing to do is typically tell them what your mistakes are. And the best way people learn is from other people's mistakes. And the more that you can communicate your mistakes, hopefully you can avoid, you know, having your son, daughter, family member make the same mistakes.
Yeah, it's always easier, always better to learn from somebody else's mistakes as opposed to your own.
Exactly. And even if you learn from your own, part of recognizing that and communicating it can go a long way to being in a situation where it just doesn't happen again. And I think a lot of these things, if you can communicate, whether it's talking about the student loan debt, you know, where you go to school, talking to the student, you know, at some point they become an adult, you know, and it seems like that keeps going further and further out to, you know, 24, 25. Yeah. But, you know, the reality of it is the sooner they learn basics, an understanding of savings, an understanding of budgeting, and really staying within their means and understanding what the consequences are for getting outside of the rails and having the extra debt, it creates a situation where they can make better decisions. And, you know, there's with the student credit card offers, you know, it's really unfortunate that, the way they map it, you know, it's whether you're watching a bowl game or whether you're going to a sporting event, a concert, whether you, you know, you're sitting there watching a commercial, you know, probably every third or fourth commercial or advertisement is from a credit card company. And, you know, it's not like they're just getting that money that they're using for the advertisements and they're saying, we're just throwing this money out the window. You know, they're using it to make it part of the society and part of the expectation as it relates to, you know, just thinking that you can just spend without having any real consequences. And, you know, that's the thing with the student cards. It's important really to educate your student to make sure that, you know, they don't fall in the trap where, kind of like I mentioned before, you know, you're graduating, excited about starting your new position, you know, potentially starting to save for your first home, getting your first car on your own, all these exciting things. But then you realize and say, well, you know, I get a bill where I have to start paying, you know, 6 months from graduation, you know, my student loan that I'm going to pay for the next 10 or 20 years. And then on top of it, I have all this credit card debt. You know, I just don't have, I'm not going to be making the money to make it all work.
Yeah.
You know, that's the worst of all worlds there.
It is. But, you know, you're right. We are marketed to have certain lifestyle expectations, certain money expectations. And so it's really easy to fall into that trap you were just talking about. It leads me to my final question here is, what happens when all of that marketing is successful and you suddenly find yourself with a lot more credit card debt than you anticipated? Or, you know, how can you avoid doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main things is to communicate where you both stand. I mean, if it's a couple, you know, you're married or you're thinking about getting married, it's important to have an open pipeline of exactly what your finances are and discussing money. You know, that they say it's a number one cause of divorce. And, you know, the lack of communication and kind of going along with it, it's probably a 1-2 combination.
Yeah.
But, you know, the sooner that you can teach your children or young adults how to spend based on, you know, even a lot of times it's like anything else, you know, they sit there and watch, you know, and their little brains are like computers that watch you and they try to mirror a lot of your behaviors, as much as when they become teenagers, you drive them crazy, they drive you crazy. You know, a lot of it comes down to just being open, communicating. And as I mentioned before, really talking about, you know, the things that you potentially did wrong, you know, if there are any things.
Right.
There are things.
Come on, Jeff, you know that.
Exactly. And to really talk about that and just say, you know, this is what I did wrong and this is what I wish I would have done differently. You just don't have one conversation with them. It's kind of like college. You know, if you don't have a conversation with them until they're writing out applications, you know, they're going to think they're going to be able to go to Harvard or spend, you know, $100,000 a year and it not be a big deal. You know, the sooner that you manage their expectations and you discuss, you know, like soon they're going to be adults, you know, you at some point you have to start having conversations with them and start treating them like adults and having an open line of communication where they, you know, if they're not sure about something, if they get a credit card offer or, you know, they get something at school where they're, you know, they're not sure, you know, how do I use this? You know, do I go, even with insurance, you know, do I use our insurance or we go to the health center? There's a lot of things that go along with just being the student being able to reach out to the adult and actually feel comfortable that they're going to get a response. And, you know, it's not like you have to know everything. It's really, you know, having empathy and really being able to communicate and try to help them along with their journey.
I know you've mentioned this before, but is there a way to sort of manage the onslaught of credit card offers that you get?
Yeah, it's kind of like an avalanche, if you will, of offers. And you know, it seems like the credit card companies do enough research where they know exactly where to, you know, fire these things off. It's, you know, right before the holidays or right after the holidays, a lot of times, you know, when you're figuring out how to, you know, pay for things or, you know, to try to get by. And, you know, there are several things that you can do to try to manage that, especially if you have a, you know, young adult in the household that starts getting mail. You know, it's a matter of really talking to them about that. There's also a website, which I've mentioned before. You know, it was set up by the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and it is actually www.optoutprescreen.com. And what it allows you to do is opt out of credit card and insurance offers. And I think it's a great way that you can save a few trees, you know, so there's actually a few around, hopefully, in the next few years. And you also reduce the risk of it falling into the wrong hands, you know, of an identity thief or just, you know, someone getting it. You just want to avoid that. And it really, if you can simplify things and make it easier where you're just not having things piling up, it can make it a lot easier in terms of making and simplifying everything.
Yeah. Credit cards. they're the bane and the reality of our existence, aren't they?
They are, you know, you can get a lot of things with them, but in the long run, it's a question of, you know, what is the burden in the future in the form of a lot of interest? You know, does that item really justify the spending outside of your means? And what are the consequences for that? And, you know, it's kind of like we talked about before, you know, with high school, with education and with financial literacy, you know, there's just not the right focus in schools really educating children about what is, you know, how to budget, how to understand these things that are coming at you, you know, a mile a minute, you know, whether it's the credit card offers or the student loans, or just putting yourself in a position, you know, where you can save and you can have the lifestyle that you really want. It's more of an issue of reactive, even with the debt. It's what do we do now that we have this?
Yeah.
It's not what do we do not to get into it.
You want to be proactive, definitely, with debt always, whether it's the mortgage debt or the student debt or the credit card debt or, you know, personal loan debt.
And I think, you know, if you can do that, you just get ahead of the card companies and you put your interest first and you're not out there just paying interest. And that's, I think, the biggest thing. And, you know, there's one quote, and I can kind of read this, but it was from Abraham Lincoln. And he, you know, they didn't have credit cards back then. But, you know, really, he said, and this is a quote, "You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." And I believe that's especially true for making financial decisions these days. And especially when you're a young adult, you know, what the decisions you make today can create a huge burden for many years in the future.
Yeah, that's true. It's always good to remember Abe Lincoln was a really wise guy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It seems like, you know, everything seemed a lot more simple probably back then. And now it's, I think, in some ways, especially with young adults and you know, adults for that matter, you have so many things coming at you from the standpoint of work. Everyone is working a lot more. They would say productive. It just means that you're working a lot more. Yeah. And so in a lot of cases, we have all this information out there, you know, but how do you really act on it and really make sure that you're making your best decisions, you know, that are in your best interest?
Yeah, this has been a great conversation, Jeff. For people who may be clients of yours, I'm sure they know how to get a hold of you. But folks who came across this podcast and are thinking, I'd like to have a conversation with this guy, Jeff, how do they reach out to you?
Sure. They can call me via phone, which is 770-420-8210. They can also go to my website, which has a lot of helpful calculators, articles, balancewealthpartners.com. And there's a place there where you can click on to schedule a quick call where we can kind of discuss your situation in more detail. And I might be able to provide some information that might be helpful.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. And listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I'm sure you found it time very well spent. If you're not a subscriber to this podcast already, this is the easy part. You don't have to reach out to anybody. You just have to touch your screen or click on the subscribe button, and then you will be subscribed and you will not miss another edition of this podcast. We also would humbly ask that if you like it, rate it. Tell people about it. Share it with other people. Spread the word about what Jeff is doing here. On behalf of Jeff and everybody at Balance Wealth Partners, I'm Bill Tucker, urging you to go out and remember, it's your choice. Make it a great day or not. Choose wisely. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. Visit our website at balancewealthpartners.com. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Content here is for illustrative purposes and general information only. It is not legal, tax, or individualized financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any specific security or engage in any specific trading strategy. Results will vary. Past performance is no indication of future results or success. Market conditions change continuously. This commentary reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Jeffrey Panik. It does not necessarily represent those of RFG Advisory, private client services, their clients, or their employees. This commentary should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by RFG Advisory or performance returns of any client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. Securities offered by registered representatives of private client services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered by investment advisory representatives of RFG Advisory, a registered investment advisor. Private client services, Balance Wealth Partners, and RFG Advisory are unaffiliated entities. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where RFG Advisory and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advisory services may be rendered by RFG Advisory unless a client agreement is in place.